love of God, when we stand in his love, there's nothing that can stand against us. Join me in our scriptural affirmation today. Our scriptural affirmation comes from Philippians, the first chapter, the 12th verse through the 26th verse. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel.
So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all of the palace and in all other places.
And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill.
The one preach Christ of contention, not sincere, supposing to add affliction to my bonds.
But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel.
What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice.
For I know that this chapter of my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I ought not.
For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith.
That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again.
Dear Lord, today help us to rejoice in you. We want to rejoice in the fact that you are and that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. We want to rejoice that we can walk with you each and every day. We want to rejoice that you give us all that we need to live this life. We want to rejoice because you are worth rejoicing in. Oh, Lord, allow us your presence this day. You're welcome in this place. You manifest yourself. You're welcome in this place. Show yourself. Speak to us, Lord. You're welcome in this place this day, for your glory is going to be shown in our lives. So have your way, Lord. Have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. We can believe, we can understand that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always with us. The one who can call a multitude of angels down. He's in charge of everything. He's God. And yet, he's with me and with you. He loves you that much. All the stuff that you go through, all the life that you navigate through, all of the things that you do, he's with you. Dear Father, we thank you for reminding us today that we don't have to be afraid. Reminding us today that when we are afraid, we have one who can calm all of our fear. We have one that will remind us that he is near. We have one that loves us. Today, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you help us to get it? That not only do we not have fear, we can walk in joy, an irrepressible, amazing joy. Help us to see that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's fascinating, this part of scripture that we're going to look at today in the first chapter of Philippians. First chapter of Philippians, starting at the 12th verse. Paul the apostle is in prison, and he's writing back to a church that he had had so much a part of starting and seen so many great things. I can still imagine Paul and Silas at midnight singing about how good God was, singing that he actually existed, singing and the chains fall off and they're free. They were free in the midst of the jail. They were free in the midst of their circumstances. They were free. You know, today you may not feel so very free. Health situations may make you feel like, I don't feel very free today. Sin in your life may make you feel like I don't feel very free today. Sin in someone else's life may make you feel like I'm not so free today. Some government officials saying something makes you feel like I'm not so free today. But Paul managed to be free in the midst of it all. In the midst of everything, he was free. In the midst of everything, he was not bound. In the midst of technology, we are not wrapped up. We're free. Verse 12 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. How do you look at your life? Do you see your life as a life that the things that have happened to you have promoted the gospel? When things happen to you, are you, woe is me, I'm just so oppressed. Woe is me, I'm so down. Woe is me, I'm so distracted. Or do you go, ha, this happening to me allows the spread of the gospel? You know, things happen to you, and you could bemoan them. I mean, you could bemoan getting old. It's my birthday today. And, like, how do you celebrate that, you know? I'm old. And so, but then maybe you can celebrate that by saying, look how good God has been. Look at what God has done. Look at what he is doing. Look at this, a fallible vessel like that, and he's being used by God to preach the word of God. You know, God is good. So maybe this old thing ain't so bad after all. It shows his grace. It shows his goodness and the aches and pains that even those things that come that allow me to speak even through the labyrinth of things that would keep me closed in. By speaking through those things, I give glory to God. And giving glory to God shows that there really is good news, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, is now sitting with the Father at the right hand of the Father, one with the Father as he always was. I mean, my life now reflects that goodness. My life now reflects how good and wonderful and amazing he is. What an amazing thing. The thing that's been happening to me, the thing that happens to all of us, falls out into the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I must admit, his may seem a little bit unique, because the thing that fell out to him was that he was in a prison. And he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Does the lifestyle that you lead, are people just talking about it, saying, wow, that person in the place that they are showing the greatness of God? A scripture that we talk about in Matthew a lot here is, we let our light so shine among men, they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Do people glorify God because of the work that you do at your work? The things that you build? Do people glorify God because of the way you behave in public? Does your mate glorify God by the way you behave in private? Or are you just another prayer point for that person? Sometimes some of us, our best value is just being a prayer point, because it's hard for anybody to celebrate our lives. You ever feel that way? Your life can't be celebrated. It can just give someone an excuse to pray. And to pray is never a bad thing. I didn't realize that would be such a somber thought, but it is, isn't it? So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. In the place that I'm encased in the place that I have to be, there are people that are coming out and saying, God is good. Are people saying God is good because of the way that you behave? And that spreads to all of the places that you find yourself. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This one actually was one of those that shake you up a little bit. You mean when I'm having a bad day, or when things aren't going well in this ministry, for instance, could it actually be that someone uses us an example of so that they could preach Christ? Can you imagine that? Yep. That little church over there, yeah, if they'd just been following the way the Lord would have them to be over the years, they're nice people. But if they just had a little bit of this or spoke a little bit of that, maybe they would have grown. Maybe they would be this. Maybe they would be that. So Jesus will bless them if you do this and do that. It's all frustrating. But Christ is preached. And if they preach in Christ, okay. Do I really care about what people are saying about me? Do you really care about what people are saying about you? So much so that you want to stop it. Sometimes we need to stop worrying about those kind of things. But there are some that are bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Envy and strife. Can you imagine that there would be Christians who would share the truth of the gospel in a way that would hurt others? They're saying a true thing. You know, sometimes every truth you don't have to say at this particular time, at this particular moment. There are sometimes you can hold your tongue. You should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You should be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. You should be quick to pray, but not necessarily so quick to share. Wow. This is a happy, joyful message, isn't it? All right. The one preach Christ of contention. I've heard more theological arguments over the last year than you could possibly imagine at all levels. And it's hard surfing through all of that stuff, figuring out what's being said is true and what's not true and what to do about it when you find it out. And what has broken my heart is that some people have done it because they want to put somebody else down. They want to hold somebody else back. They want to get a foothold in that market. It's been a horrible thing. And listen, First Baptist Church, we can't fall for that. It's time for us to get rid of that. We are about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. These arguments out there that these fine sounding arguments that are ripping lives apart, that is not us. We need to love each other. This is a place. This is a place where the hurting and the sinful and those who don't know what to do next can come and be healed. This is a place where people can be loved on and cared for. This is a place where we don't shoot our wounded. This is a place where we love each other well. This is a place where we build people up and we allow the Word of God to do its work. God inhabits the word of God. He sends the word of God, and he gives the word of God, and he is the one that corrects. He is the one that changes, and he gives us this wonderful, amazing word that will help. Sometimes we don't know who we are. James and John insulted that Jesus was, his reputation wasn't what they wanted it to be. And he said, "Shall we call fire down on him, Lord?" Let's get it. I want to see it. Come on. Fire. I can do that, right, Lord? Yeah. And I can imagine the look he had on his face. He said, "You don't know of what spirit you are." We've got to be about the business of loving each other. God can correct his own. So, the one preached Christ, verse 16, of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. You see, I don't want, this is what Paul is saying, but I hope I'm saying it too. I'm going to rejoice anyway. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I know that I know that I know God has got me. I know that I know that I know that everyone that knows him, he's got them. He's got them, and he will take them all the way through. He's saving them. He's changing them. He's working with them. He's working with me. He's working with us, and I don't have to sit around worrying about it. I don't have to worry anymore. I can be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let my request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I know that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to talk to him about the things that are bothering me, but not to worry about them, but to offload them, because I cast all of my care upon him because he cares for me. I know that he's got me. I know that he's kept me. I've got history that shows he's been with me down through the years because I'm upright and breathing. You're upright and breathing. You know he's kept you. You know it's only by his goodness and grace. It's of the Lord's mercy that we've not been consumed. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, my earnest hope, my deepest hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness is always so, now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. I surrender to him. Right now, Lord, I give myself to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's just my reasonable service. I won't be conformed to this world, but I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that my prove was a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I won't think too highly of myself, Lord, neither good nor bad. Some people think that they are God's gift to humankind. Other people think, I'm so bad that not even God can fix me. That both of those are thinking too highly of yourself. You ain't all that. And as broke as you are, he made you. And he can put you back together. And maybe you're so broken down because he needed to start over. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also in Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. You know, I say all the time, in him I live and move and have my being. Do I really mean that? For to me, to live is Christ. I live for him. I surrender all that I am to him. That's real life. And to die, it's all right. I don't want to die now. Please don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not looking to die right now. I have stuff that I think God has put on my heart to do. But the reality is that when I die, it'll be far better than this. You're nice people, and it's so nice to be around you. And it's good to walk this earth, but it'll be better to walk the golden streets of heaven. It'll be better to be in the presence of Jesus in an unbounded way, that I'll be with him each and every day and just praise him and praise him, because every time I look at a different facet of his character, I'm amazed and awed at how good he is. And I can go with the angels and all of the creatures and the elders and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Well, I told you what I think would be best. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I have purpose here, and my purpose here, you're a great part of that. And I am so glad, and I am so thankful. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you for the furtherance of and joy of your faith. I want us to be a joyful congregation. When we're cleansed before God, we'll be a joyful congregation. When we're used of God, we'll be a joyful congregation. When we recognize his presence, we'll be a joyful congregation. I want us to know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I want him. Do you want him today? I want him. You got to know him to have him. You've got to recognize that you have to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, had an amazing ministry as he walked this earth. He was crucified for my sin. His shedding of blood paid for everything that I have ever done and ever will done. And it was all done by his choice so that he could have me. And then he was put into a grave. Who borrows a grave anyway? 3 days later, he rose again and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, one with the Father in some way that we can't grasp, making intercession for us. He wants you. He wants you to experience his joy, his peace, his faith. He wants you in a special and real way. He wants you to be able to make it through the stuff that challenges your life. He wants you to know his goodness and to have the self-control that allows you to live in a way that you can actually experience the other things that he has already provided for you. So today is the day where you say, Lord, thank you for wanting me. I receive you afresh. I'm not, for those who know Jesus, you're not being saved again. But you are saying, I know that I've not been all that I could be. And you've said, if I confess my sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know that I've run my mouth in ways that are inappropriate. I know that my living situation hasn't always been what it should be. I know that the way that I've handled the thoughts that come into my mind have not always been right. I know that just like everyone else, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that I need to cast all of my sin at your feet. Lord, today, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I repent. I turn away. The blood of Christ is sufficient. And so I turn away from that sin. And I come boldly to you, Lord, because I want to be with you. Right now, I don't even know any stuff that I need. I just need you. Have your way in my life, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today is the day if God is working in your life. Today is the day to allow him to have his way. Surrender. The altar's open, right there in your seat, whatever. Know that God is is calling you.